All right, we're on. What is the pleasure of the body?
Ambrose, could you read the items? I don't know if everyone got the proposed agenda. Maybe we could.
I'll do that now. The proposed agenda will
Can we have a roll call first?
Yeah, I'll call the roll for you.
Good.
William Walker from KPFA. Sarv Randhawa. Fadi Saba
here.
Laverne Williams
here. Here.
Okay. Maria Armudian from KPFK
here.
David Adelson
here.
Julie Chavez Rodriguez
here.
Donna Warren
here.
Bob Lederer
here.
Patty Heffley
present.
Ray LaForest
here.
Michael Tarif Warren. From KPFT, Joe Montez. And Ngozi Kamau.
Here.
Mike Martin.
Here.
Wendy Schroll.
Here.
From WPFW, Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Rob Robinson. Here. Mark Roberts.
Here.
Zarina Shakir.
Here.
Affiliate Director, Marty Derlin.
Here.
And Affiliate Director, Steve Pierce.
Here.
Okay, it's 18 present, so we have a quorum. Now, let me read the...
Ray, is the executive director joining us tonight?
Well, I got an email today saying he had been very ill, and he would probably not be. Now, these agenda items... placed on the agenda because people either sent an email requesting it or otherwise contacted us. The agenda had six items. Number one, Executive Search Committee Report, which is awfully important. The Coordinating Committee Report. The Governing Committee Report. Director Inspection Rights. And two items, one, Citizens Bill of Rights that was submitted by Rob, and the CPB strategy for a Pacifica contingency budget that was submitted by Steve. Those are the items. What's your pleasure?
Ambrose, this is
yep.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
I am concerned that what frequently happens on our calls is we don't set times and then people object to being on so late. So I'd like to set times for the items. And also, I think that some of the issues, the latter ones you mentioned, maybe should be deferred until we have more time, because I think some of these issues will take a little while.
What's the pleasure?
This is Ray.
Yeah.
Well, if we list them the way they are, if we don't get to them, they just won't get done.
I had a question.
And you're suggesting we ought to use some self-discipline to get this done.
I'm just saying that if we don't, if since they've just mentioned that item number 5 and number 6 were less urgent, if not less important, since they're already at the end, and if we don't finish, they're likely the items we won't touch.
Okay. Ambrose, I had a question because, I mean, is the agenda open to some tweaking because it's kind of fresh, or is
it? Of course it is.
Well, the only
thing. You can't add anything, but you can.
The only concern that I have that's not addressed here is that the whole matter of a secretary. I mean, we're bumping into it increasingly.
Yes, yes, yes.
We have not resolved the question. We're going to have to, I mean, you know, we either have a secretary, we can also have assistant secretary. Maybe we could split it and somebody could just do the posting part and the other person could do the minute part. We need to figure out how to deal with that situation. I don't think we can go much longer without...
Let me tell you how I propose to deal with it.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Dave, I couldn't hear you. I don't want to interrupt you, but if you're not speaking, I have a point on that.
Okay.
There's
some confused noise in the background. I don't know who that is.
But he's slaughtering a pig.
Okay, try it, Dave.
Well, we agreed at the in-person meeting the question of working out the secretarial duties would fall to the coordinating committee, and due to time constraints, we didn't deal with that at the last coordinating committee. I suggest that we still ask the coordinating committee to work that out. Leilani's present on this call, and I assume she can cover those duties. I also would like to make the the specific suggestion that we allot 1 hour for the Executive Director Search Committee report, 45 minutes to the Coordinating Committee report, and include in that the issue of the Director's inspection rights, since that's where we dealt with it, 45 minutes for the Governance Committee report, and that would comprise the full agenda. And that would be a 2.5 hour meeting, and if we have extensions, it still should come in under 3 hours.
Is that a motion?
I'd like to make that motion.
And I'll second
that. Is there a second?
There is a second from Fetty.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes?
I had emailed asking for discussion of the Democracy Now! Plugola issue, which would only take a couple of minutes.
Can we add that as a fourth item?
Good. Any objections?
Yes. I do think that the issue of the agenda and the fact that we are not supposed to put items that were not duly noticed on the agenda should restrict us from that. I'd like to suggest that that's the sort of thing that's appropriate for the Coordinating Committee to handle in between meetings. Also the CPD issue, and bring that to the board.
Well, Amber, this is Marty.
Hi, Marty.
Nothing was duly noticed. Hello, nothing. Not any of this agenda was duly noticed. We had some notice within the board that these items might be on the agenda, but the agenda as a whole was not duly noticed. So I just want to make that point. And I agree that I don't think we should deal with Steve's issue on this call. I don't think that anything takes 2 minutes. But I just want to say that we haven't followed our own rules in terms of public notice on this meeting.
Very well, thank you.
Boucher?
Mm. Yes. Anyone else?
This is Michael. I'm just beside Dan. I didn't get a copy or a notice of the agenda by email.
Nobody did.
I know.
All right.
What's your pleasure?
Well, the question of the secretary was what you wanted. I believe that Dave was saying he wanted to hold that until the coordinating committee. And I don't know if we've discussed with Lalani. I don't know what kind of compensation we've discussed or any of that. I assume that we'll work that out later. Is that the understanding?
The compensation, yes, will have to be worked out. I've asked her to take the minutes, and before Dave dealt with that, the coordinating committee's role, I was simply going to say that I'll take responsibility for sending the notices out, the agendas out, and communicating with Lalani and others to make sure it's posted on the website until the coordinating committee makes its decisions.
And when is the next coordinating committee meeting?
May 3rd.
May 3rd.
I still think at some point we should consider, because the bylaws also allow an assistant secretary that, you know, a lot of people are concerned about posting, but somebody maybe could take that on then and, you know, that at least split that up. So who would be doing the, Ambrose, you're going to be chairing and posting now?
No, I'll be working with Lalani.
Okay.
This is Patty.
Yes, Patty.
Could someone read the motion or what happened in the last meeting about our secretary and the situation with Lalani as working as a secretary? Because I think, wasn't it like some temporary situation and we were supposed to look into it? Because I'm opposed to the staff being a secretary of the board. It's sort of mixing legislative and executive branches, and I think it's improper. I'm not really sure how this happened, but perhaps we can look further into
that. It was referred to the coordinating committee, and they'll deal with it. We're just dealing with action before the coordinating committee has to do its work, and I think their meeting is the first week in May.
All right, so this is just a temporary situation.
Believe me.
Ambrose?
Yeah.
I want to clarify further. We were asked to work out the arrangements with Leilani, not as a general matter, but specifically work out the arrangement with Leilani.
That's right.
Ambrose, before you go on, can I just get clarification? So from now on, you will be in charge of posting the announcements of the meetings?
I'll make sure that they're posted and that the agendas are sent out, and I'll work with LaLonda to make sure the minutes are.
Mr. Chair, point of information. This is LaVar Williams. I would just ask that people, especially at the start, just identify themselves. You know, I haven't heard you guys talk for a while, so
okay.
If you could identify yourself, I would appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Are you ready to vote on Dave's motion?
Was that LaVon?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Ambrose, this is Julie.
Yes, it is, Ray.
Yes, Julie.
Just really quickly, also, too, whatever assistance I can provide as vice chair and making sure that that happens, definitely let me know, and you and I can talk offline about that.
Absolutely.
This is Michael. Could you please
restate
the motion?
So helpful. Yes. Are you ready to vote?
This is Michael. Could you? I just came on. Could you please restate the motion?
Dave, restate the motion.
That the agenda be the one, the Executive Search Committee report and associated action items, 1 hour.
1 hour.
Coordinating Committee report, including Director's inspection rights, 45 minutes. Governing Committee report, including the question of the WBI suspension of Paul DiRienzo, 45 minutes.
Are these maximum times?
That's the time allotted for it.
Good enough. All right. Are we ready to vote?
If we set these times and then need to extend them, what does that require? Majority or
two-thirds?
Well, yeah. I'm a little reluctant on that. This inspection rights. Are you saying that there has been an attorney letter sent?
Inspection rights is not one of the three he recommended.
Well, no, it is. It's under. It's
in the governor coordinating.
You
know what, Mark? If I could through the chair, we're discussing the agenda, not the item. Once we get to the item, we could ask those questions, Mark.
Well, no, I can ask it now, Fadi.
Because we have but to vote.
Yeah, but I want to know is the inspection rights portion would be under coordinating, correct?
That's right.
Why don't you move to make that a longer period of time, Mark?
Well, that's why I was, before doing that, I wanted to know, was there a letter or wasn't there a letter? Because that would impact the discussion, the length of it. And someone referenced, Lottie mentioned something about a letter. I haven't seen anything, so I'm just wondering.
There was a letter from the attorney. I got it.
Okay.
Where is it?
I've seen the letter via email.
Beg pardon? Email.
Can you send it to the whole board right now?
If I can find it, I'll send it to the whole board.
Excellent.
That'd be great.
Okay.
It's kind of important.
Yes.
To whom did it come?
It came from Dan, and I got a copy of it from Dan.
So it should have been sent to all of us.
I didn't get a copy. I'm a coordinating member.
So. Well.
Members, is Dave?
Yes, Dave.
I think maybe I don't know if Mark wants to amend the length of time. I actually would like to amend it and put coordinating committee report and director's inspections after the governance committee report, simply because if we need to go into executive session to consider any items with it, then that would be the last item on the agenda.
So you're just changing the order?
Mm-hmm. We should.
I'd like to swap 2 and 3.
Okay, no problem. Are there any objections to the motion?
Not for me.
Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Executive Search Committee report, 1 hour. Governing Committee report, 45 minutes. And the Coordinating Committee report, 45 minutes, coming in third. Let me turn the meeting over to the chair of the Executive Search Committee.
Okay, I sent everyone a copy, not as early as I would have liked to, called Executive Search Committee Update. I hope did everyone receive that?
Mm-hmm.
Or has anyone not received it?
Thank you for sending it, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry I didn't get it, but I think my old email must be used. I'll make sure that gets updated.
Oh, okay. I'll go. What I broken into was a couple of parts. First, just logistically, the Executive Search Committee had its first meeting on 4/18. Second meeting on 4/24, and we'll be meeting again tomorrow at 9:30. The members of the committee include myself, Steve Pierce, Mike Martin, Bob Lederer, Maria, and Fadi, and non-voting are Dan, Lonnie, Dwayne, and Ron. We have met and talked about a couple things related to the executive search, the charge of the board back in the New York meeting, and a couple of things that we did. First, we divided ourselves up into working teams to kind of deal with some of the issues before us. We have an ED job description and an IED posting, a working team consisting of Dan, Lonnie, Maria, Fadi, and Mike. And Mike is the convener, sort of coordinator of that committee, and sent out to you a tentative posting for IED and ED, which you should also have received, I hope. And I'll let him talk about that when we get to that. We have an executive search firm team consisting of Fadi and Lonnie, and that was simply to figure out what potential costs, procedures, mechanisms would be for hiring an executive search firm for either the IED or the ED positions or both. We have an outreach working team of Bob, Dwayne, and Ron, and that is working on coming up with a list of paid and unpaid venues for the posting of a position, including identifying past outreach efforts when we did GMs, et cetera. And we have an ED transition working team consisting of Dan, Steve, Mike, and myself, and that group is working to look at the issues related to the outgoing ED, the timing, and other issues related to how we would manage that procedure or recommend. Again, all of this is for recommendations to the PMB. After meeting on those matters and discussing it, we came up with a number of motions, and I'll just go to those for discussion. Unless there are any questions thus far. Okay, good. The first question that was put before us was when we established this initial committee in New York was that what the actual final composition should be. And we met and discussed it, and our recommendation is as follows. We recommend to the PMB that the current committee composition be as is, except that an additional non-voting, non-management member be added from the National Office or Archives. And that motion was passed within the committee itself.
Can we go ahead and move adoption right now?
Could you give the rationale for that?
The rationale was that we looked at the current composition and we thought that it was a good working group, but we felt that there was underrepresentation with respect to non-management and drawn from the National Office and also the Archives. Even though some of them, like, for example, the Archives is part of the, quote, Administrative Council, but our motion in New York specifically outlined that there would be two general managers sitting on that committee. So we wanted to expand it to one additional non-voting person who was not a general manager so that we could be more representative of non-management staff.
May I just clarify one thing on that motion, Mark? This is Maria.
Yes.
The motion that we passed and that we're bringing before you is that we offer them a non-voting spot on the committee, but that they don't have to do it and we don't have to include it, but it at least extends the invitation that if they wanted to elect somebody and participate, that they can. It's not a requirement. It's like if we just felt like there was somebody missing from that group, they were not represented, and we should at least extend the invitation.
And
I'm here. Anyone
else on the committee want to address this? Did that answer your question, Marty?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
This is Bob. I just wanted to add that I think it's important that the staff in really any part of Pacifica that is going to be day-to-day supervised and report to someone, such as an executive director, should have some voice in this. And that's the one constituency within our bylaws that's not guaranteed any representation on the boards or on any committees. So we wanted to remedy that at least in a small way through this.
Have you made this recommendation into a form of a motion?
Well, I think since they're placed there, they are a motion. We just need a second.
Second.
Actually,
moved and seconded.
Committee motions don't need a second.
Ambrose, this is Dave.
Yes, Dave.
I'd like to hear each of the motions and deal with amendments on them before we deal with them in divided form, because the question of the composition of the committee and leaving it as such sort of depends on what duties we agree it'll be executing. So could we possibly consider or at least have a discussion on each of the items and then go to a vote with a vote to divide if people care to separate it?
Is there a problem with that?
Big pardon?
Okay, well, then I'll move on to the second one. Let's just put that, that's the first one.
Okay.
The second one was the question of the interim ED candidate. And there, we moved to present to the PMB a list of candidates for the interim ID to the full board by May 9th. Said process to include posting internally as well as externally, including but not limited to nonprofit job search websites, broadcast job search websites, and executive search sites.
Discussion?
Dave?
Go ahead, Dave.
The issue of presenting a list to of candidates to the interim ED, I'm curious, is the committee going to be functioning as a filter limiting it, or will you just be assembling recommendations and presenting essentially all of the recommendations, possibly with a ranking of preference?
Mark?
My understanding, if I could, Mark, my understanding, what passed a couple of days ago, was it? No, yesterday. time flies, and sometimes it doesn't, is that we would essentially, the committee, this is our recommendation again, we would act as a search firm. We would send out postings. We would solicit CVs or resumes with an application and a supplemental questionnaire. And then we would sift through it and put it through a test of some sort. And then we would finalize the last five and present those to the board.
And also, Dave, one thing to keep, just to sort of frame your question here, keep in mind that the dates here, because they're essential. Dan has indicated that June 1st is firm with him. And so we're working backward from that date, and assuming that it would be ideal to have at least a two-week overlap with the IED and the ED in order for, you know, some sort of transition and interaction and things of that nature to occur during that period, we'd have to get it to the board by May 9th. So we don't want to inundate the board with, you know, tons of names. Ideally, you know, we'll get tons. But, you know, we want to be able to kind of manage the process so that we can present a fair representation to the board of the best candidates. And so that was our concern, so that the board can then ideally meet the 9th and, you know, have all the material prior to that and then, you know, be able to make a decision as quickly as possible so we can have someone in place maybe by May 15th.
This is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
And you're saying that you have to have a report for the board by the 9th of May, and you within that context, wouldn't it be easier to look at inside within the organization itself to get people who are familiar with the organization?
We're looking
and
at
have
both
the experience.
Outside and inside.
Well, yeah,
I didn't hear that.
We discussed that at length and decided, came up with a motion that we could all go with that basically included internal as well as external posting, given the time constraints, however, that we have.
Realistically, Ray, if you look at it, it's...
Just a minute.
Go ahead. No, I would say my question was realistically speaking, I mean, does it actually make sense to try to get people from the outside and get a chance to look at them carefully before the 9th?
Mike, do you want to...
this is Mike. Ray, realistically, it's, you know, probable that most of our applications are going to come from inside considering the time constraints, but we just didn't want to exclude the outside, and that's why it's there. Whether it's viable or not to get somebody from the outside, time will tell within 2 weeks.
Okay.
I mean, one thing we are hoping, if we can approve it, and we'll get to that, the third item, we did send our the language that we're proposing for the posting, and we also discussed that at length yesterday and sent the document to you. So hopefully when we get to that, we're hoping it can be approved, and we can get the go-ahead, and beginning tomorrow, we can begin that posting procedure so that maybe we could attract outside candidates as well.
Mark, if I may add, this is Daddy. We did look at the cost and feasibility of an outside search firm for the IED position. So that's how we came up with this resolution, this proposal, this recommendation to the PMB.
Mr. Chair, this is Dave Matthews.
Dave?
Yeah. My issue is, I understand Mark's comment about time. I think the committee reasonably represents the diversity of viewpoints on the board. What I'm concerned about is that if there is a majority vote mechanism to determine which candidates of interest to members of that committee get before us, then I'm concerned that we might miss people that we should have the opportunity to look at as a board.
And understood.
So if the committee would agree that those candidates that have that are recommended by any member of the committee get to the board, I would feel much easier about saying let's just go with the committee composition and go forward as is. I think that the committee members will all exercise restraint and not inundate us with things. And I also want to say that I hope, and I'll make a motion after these are considered, that we allow any member of the PNB to sit in on meetings without voice or vote, but just be able to hear the deliberations of the committee for those that want to understand what the discussion was.
Any further discussion?
Yes. I agree. I actually think that's a good point because I may have one perspective and Dave may have a difference on any particular candidate, and I think that would be good. So minority candidates, so to speak, people who have less than a majority vote should be forwarded forward.
One thing I would say on that, and I mean, we certainly, the Executive Search Committee, because we're coming forward now with that recommendation, have not, that's one of the reasons why we're meeting tomorrow, is to take whatever we learn today and whatever actions the board takes today and begin to move on it. So that's why we've already set that time. The only thing that I would say, just the process I've enjoyed with the Executive Search Committee, because it is a diverse pool of opinion, is that we kind of tend to vet with one another and come up with, you know, a kind of good sense, and we have to add a little of this and take a little of that. And so I'm concerned if we have a process that says, okay, well, any one individual can do that, that it might break down some of the cooperation and deliberation we've enjoyed to date. I will just put that out there. But why don't we move on to the next one, which is the...
Is there a further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Dave.
Go.
In that case, I'd like to formally amend the motion to say that any candidate requested to be among the finalists considered by the board, put forth by any voting member of the committee, shall be considered.
Well, I thought we were going to go through them and then go back.
Yeah, I thought we were going back.
Oh, I'm not talking about voting. I'm just saying that's an amendment. If you'd like me to make that later, that's fine. I can do that later.
I think it should be later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Bob, I'd like to say something.
Bob.
Okay, Bob.
The reference to executive search sites as one venue, that doesn't mean firms that charge a fee, does it? Because we had an extensive discussion of that yesterday and agreed to not use those firms for the interim ED. So I just want clarity on what, Mark, what you mean by executive search sites.
Well, I'm taking this language directly from the motion that we passed.
Right, but that was modified by the motion we passed yesterday, which excluded the possibility of an executive search firm.
That's true, from this...
But this is not search firms. I'm sorry, Bob. This is executive search sites, I believe.
What's the difference?
Well, we meant, for example, you mean like Opportunity Knocks and places like that, right?
I mean, posting at facilities that... And they may be firms posting the opening at such facilities was not in any way nipped at yesterday's meeting or any meeting of the ESC, of the Executive Search Committee.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to be clear that we're not
no.
saying that the committee could hire a firm. That's all.
But
no.
But we are going to be asking for money from the PNB. You know, a budget of $5,000 or whatever it was,
right.
dollars, and that will go towards cost of advertising and so on and so forth, you know, and flights and et cetera. So, I mean, we may end up paying a site which may be owned by a firm, but we're not paying that firm to do the search for us.
Okay.
Okay, why don't I go on to
the next one.
Okay, ED posting language. Mike, why don't you take that up?
I sent that out at 5:30 yesterday. I resent it just a moment ago to make sure you have it. The language should be in front of you.
There's language for the executive director and the interim executive director, which basically is exactly the same, with the exception that the interim executive director is got a date on it, due date by May 6, 2005, and has some additional language that states this is a temporary position which may last approximately 6 months, more or less. The interim director may be hired on a consulting or salary basis to be negotiated. The general description, to just encapsulate it, encompasses the opening statement, which is basically the same opening statement adopted by the PNB for the ED description, with the addition of two explanatory sentences at the front explaining Pacifica and drawing from directly from the bylaws on that language. The skills, knowledge, experience, education are two categories that, again, were pulled directly from the original PNB-adopted job description for the executive director, and it was tweaked a little bit by the committee with some additional language regarding experience.
Can I just interrupt 1 second? Can you find out, just inquire, does everyone have that?
Hopefully. I've sent it out twice. I see it twice on my board, once 5:30 yesterday and just a minute ago.
Okay, great. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Just want to make sure everyone has it. All right.
Hopefully everyone has it. If anyone doesn't, speak up.
Well, let me ask. You're talking about the executive director now, right?
Well, they both read verbatim the same, except for the italicized portion on the interim executive director at the bottom that I read out loud.
Are you talking about the interim or the executive director?
Both statements read exactly the same, with the exception of the qualification in italics in the interim executive posting description, which is down on the second page at the bottom.
Maybe what I'm really asking is, for the points that you guys are addressing right now, which one are you addressing? Is it
IED
posting language, or is that what you're doing? Three,
right.
ED posting language.
This is ED posting language.
Okay, so you're talking about the executive director.
Correct.
Okay.
And also the IED, the executive director. What we would like to do with approval, Donna, is be able to go with that, especially the interim, and begin posting, you know, tomorrow.
Okay, the reason I ask is because Mike has two separate documents.
Right.
Yeah.
They're both essentially the same, but if you look under interim executive director, there's some italicized language on the second page that says this is a temporary interim position, that little paragraph there. And that's really the only difference, plus there's a deadline of May 6th for getting your applications in. But otherwise, they're essentially the same document.
Okay. Can I ask a question? This is Wendy.
Yes.
I don't read into it anything there that says that the interim executive director would not be able to apply for the permanent job. Was that discussed at all?
Maria, you want to address that?
Yeah, that was discussed. There was an issue brought up, and we didn't actually go through and check the legality of this, but that there might be a legal concern about requiring that, not allowing the interim to apply to the ED, but we need to do some legal research on that. We discussed it, we sort of tabled it because we needed to check on the legal issues.
So there was some concern that maybe that should be in there?
I think the committee was probably sort of split up on that.
Okay.
There was some concern, Wendy, that if we hired someone as an IED and said, okay, but you're everyone in the world but you is eligible to apply for the ED position, that would be discriminatory towards the IED.
Ambrose, is Dave? Is Ray? Oh.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray, or go ahead,
yeah.
Dave?
Ray and then Dave.
Okay, thanks. And I was going to say, also, suppose we find out that this person who we hired interim basis is an amazing administrator and executive director. Would we just tie our hands and not be able to hire that person?
Well, no, obviously, whatever you say could be changed.
We didn't address it one way or the other in the posting documents.
I was just curious, that's all. I was just asking.
So the question is still open.
Good question.
Stock, please.
Who's next? Dave?
I believe I was.
And William.
Hi, William.
Hi.
Yeah, one of our members of our local board raised the point that Casey McFall, she has a great deal of experience there. She said at our meeting that it wasn't legal to exclude somebody on the basis of being interim. The issue I have is I do have some concerns about the EB posting language. I think it tilts towards business skills and not necessarily towards the kind of vision we may need as we're coming into a world where audio distribution is going to be radically different, and understanding the nature of a mission-based, blah, 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 largely volunteer-driven organization. I think that in terms of the time frame, we need to get an interim EB in instantly, but I don't think we need to begin posting that EB job description within the next week. And so I'd like to have that item go through the committee process a little more and have a chance to take some input from us and get decided on at the next meeting of this board.
You mean for the ED position, right, Dave?
For the permanent, not for the interim.
Right. And in fact, you see, when we get to number five, that we're even recommending the hiring of a search firm. So let's separate that out. If you look at the IED, that's the thing we want to get into the papers
okay.
and everything this week. And so I would focus on the IED language more so, yeah, than the ED.
Yeah, and I would like to, that's fine, and I'm going to split hairs over that, but what I would like is for the ED language to have one more cycle of input.
For which one?
The ED, the permanent ED job listing to have one more cycle of input.
Okay.
This is Ray, I have a question.
Further discussion?
This is Ray, I have
yes,
one
Ray.
Question. Did we consult any of the earlier documents used to describe that job?
Ray, this is Mike. We consulted the PNB adopted job description for the executive director, basically pulled the top paragraph out of it and a couple of the bottom paragraphs out of it, and then tweaked them. That's where we got most of this.
This is Marty. I have a question.
Yes, Marty.
And in the search for the interim ED, You will be asking some of these agencies who have the executives that are available for this kind of thing? I'm sorry, it wasn't clear to me that...
Actually, Marty, we initially, and I mentioned one of our working group was the executive search firm team, and we did investigate the possibility of hiring a firm for the placement of an IED, and in fact, we contacted Compass Point and discussed it with them and found the cost to be prohibitive for
so
the period of time.
Some of us did. Some of us felt it was.
Yeah, some of us.
I felt it was reasonable.
Could you give us an idea of what the range is?
Yes, I can give you an idea of what they are. Since I'm the one who made the initial contact, it was Lonnie and myself who were the working group looking at that. And we made contact with Compass Point. I first made initial contact with the person, and she basically said it's a minimum cost of $3,500, and that's 20 hours of consulting. This is them consulting, looking at possible EDs, interim EDs, that is. They have a pool of about 50 at any given time of past EDs who are willing to become interim EDs. At times, part-time, most of them were at a part-time status. And thereafter, the 20 hours, which is $3,500, it would be $175 per hour of consulting. I made the guesstimate, and I stress underscore the guess in the guesstimate word, of 80 hours, and that would be $14,000 to actually get this done. And that would be an exit interview with Dan, an interview with Lonnie, since he's CFO, with other important staff levels, as well as board members. Looking at the structure, looking at our past, if we did not have a job description to develop one, et cetera, et cetera. And so based on that, I figured we would not need more than 80 hours of analysis and actual work, and that would be $15,000. Now, the candidates that they have run the gamut between $55 an hour to to $75 an hour, and they are 1099 employees. That is our contract employees. So, and that would be it.
This is Dave Ambrose?
Yes. Who's next?
Two questions. One, are any members of the committee, voting or non-voting, going to be considered as candidates for this position? And two, if so, can their names be discussed, or is that a confidential matter? Because I'd like to make a comment or two about it, but I don't want to violate confidentiality. Can somebody
answer
those questions?
I can speak to that, Chair Ambrose.
Yes, go ahead.
Dan Coughlin has currently put forward the name already of the CFO, Lonnie Hicks, for the ED position, I believe the interim. I don't think he actually clarified whether he meant it just for the interim or for the permanent, but he thought for continuity's sake that it would be really good to just really consider Lonnie.
Well, then if I could go ahead with my point, I'm a little concerned.
Well, can I add to that before you do, Dave?
Go ahead.
Please.
In looking at that recommendation, there was a realization and a frank discussion with Lonnie about it that California law, as well as our bylaws, prohibit the CFO from concurrently serving as the CEO. So, in other words, if Lonnie were to become interim ED, he would have to step down as CFO. So that dynamic is out there as well.
Okay, well, the point I wanted to make is that if Lonnie is a candidate for that position and he's also responsible for determining whether the costs of finding an alternative are prohibitive or not, and he's also somebody who is supposed to interview such a candidate, it does seem to me that that represents a conflict of interest.
Well, but Lonnie's not. I mean, he's on a working team.
Matt,
let him finish.
Finish the point.
Oh, I thought he had.
The fact that he's a non-voting member or a working team, to me, is not germane. I do think it could be a serious conflict of interest to have him involved in that, and so I'd like to hear from the committee opinions about that, specifically on the point of him being on the working team that brought forth the idea of the prohibitive cost, because what I heard from Fatty was that there was a disagreement about whether that cost was prohibitive or not.
Okay. Committee? Chair?
Well, I mean, I think there are a couple things. First of all, I use the word prohibitive, so let's put that with me. But
okay.
When we looked at the cost of it and also the time, remember, we still have this 5-9 that we're looking at. The Compass Point estimate that was brought forward to us was in the range, and we estimated, as Fadi said, about $15,000, and that's to conduct the sort of internal a brief internal audit, talk to everyone, come up with the description, and then there's also the part that they would essentially deliver to us three names from which we could choose. Those individuals generally work 20 to 25 hours a week, and their hourly rate is, again, between 50, what was it, 55 and...
And 75.
So when we looked at it as a full-time position, for a six-month period, the cost of the foundation was somewhere between, Fadi, what were the numbers?
Between 50-something thousand to nearly 80,000.
To nearly 80,000 for a six-month period. In other words, so they would come in, do this internal consulting work at the cost of a roughly 15,000. We could get them to cap it at that. And then in addition to that, we then bring on someone as a 1099 based on the three names they provide us. And then we'd have to pay that person somewhere between, say, 50 and 80,000 for 6 months. And we put that together as a committee and thought that was a lot, and we still have an ED to get. Because one of the things about the IED that Compass Point would bring forward, they would not be a candidate for the ED position. They would simply be there as a temporary person. They come in, they have expertise in analyzing an organization. They would have some strategic perspectives they would bring to us and that type of thing, some recommendations, but they would be leaving at that six-month period, and then we'd be back, you know, so that was why we thought it was, or at least why I used the word prohibitive.
Okay.
Yes?
If I may speak, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is Patty. To answer Dave's question about Lonnie's presence and involvement in the committee. He was involved with me in the working group, and obviously it was easy working with him because there's just two of us. It was wonderful. but yeah, it made things quick. We did have disagreements, and we did not come to a final thing, and obviously one does. It is obviously an issue when you have someone who might be a candidate on this committee. Obviously, that because you know the weight of one person's voice weighs quite heavy, or because people do have trust in that voice. So I think that's an important comment that you raised with regards to our working group's final piece is that we basically did not recommend one thing or another because we did have a disagreement on this, but we just laid down the information. And I laid down the information, made sure Lonnie was in agreement with the information he told me to do. I misspelled his name, and that was basically it.
that would do it.
but basically, you know, it was the information, and then the committee as a whole looked at it. Most of the committee members, or most of those who were present that day on the committee, were afraid of the cost of the interim ED. I felt, and I still feel, that this is a great opportunity for Pacifica. Whenever there's change in leadership, it's a great opportunity to bring in someone, an interim, who is a caretaker interim, but at the same time is willing to work with a board, say, for example, for a strategic planning process. This way, we have a vision, we have a unified vision, and we know what we want. You know, we have, you know, a matrix of things that we want to hit as an organization. So I think this time has an opportunity. Now, Compass Point did tell me, and did tell Lonnie, we were all together on this phone call, that the one-month turnaround time is tight. It's not impossible, but it is tight because they need to find somebody that is capable of taking over day-to-day operations of an organization in the $12 to $15 million range that we are. And, of course, have the experience that we want.
I'd like to add something to
point
that.
Of order, Mr.
Yes.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. This is Rob Robinson. This
Hi,
is
Rob.
Going from being a committee report to a committee reenactment of the meeting. We condense this discussion.
Well, I'm not trying to reenact a discussion. I want to bring one other factor before the board. I don't want to go back and forth with the committee. But I did want to mention the other dates that we were thinking of because that also kind of framed some of this discussion. Not only do we have the departure on June 1, we also have the reality that there's a new board coming in January. And so we hope to have a permanent, regular ED in place during this board's term and not wait for January. And so we have a board meeting in June and we have a board meeting in September. So we looked at that closely also and thought, well, given that time frame, at the latest that we'll meet this year will be 9/17, I think. The weekend of 9/17 it will be our last meeting together face-to-face, and we thought that would be an excellent opportunity to meet candidates for that position. So backing it up also, if you put in the long turnaround time with the executive search, that was another reason why we leaned towards an IED through the posting procedure that we mentioned earlier.
Mark, you've covered all five of these recommendations, right?
Well, no, the IED hire I wanted. Steve, could you talk about that one for the IED hire?
For the IED hire?
Yeah. The budget and we had recommended, I mean, this
you've already mentioned a $5,000 budget.
Right. We wanted a $5,000 budget that would allow us to basically pay for the search. So you can see that. And in five, we wanted to recommend to the PMB that a search firm be hired to assist in the regular ED position because we felt that the time and expertise necessary would be greater than the executive search committee, as talented as we are, could do. And that's it. I'm done.
Good.
And I would like to echo what Mark basically said, is that the committee
yeah, basically said, you know, Compass Point sounds nice, but you know what? Maybe that type of an organization or another organization should be looked at for the regular ED, not the interim.
Okay. All right, let's go back and...
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, sorry. What was number six?
Number six, regular ED hire. It recommends that the PNB hire a search firm for the regular ED position.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, so our first...
Take it back to one. Dave
right.
had...
Our first motion is that the committee be expanded to include one additional non-voting, non-management member to be added from the National Office or Archives non-management staff.
You changed that to be offered two.
Well, I mean, I'll read it exactly. We recommend that the current committee composition be as is, except that an additional non-voting, non-management member be added from the National Office or Archives.
Ambrose, this is Dave.
Yes, Dave.
I'd like to offer an amendment. Due to concerns about a conflict of interest, no candidate for either interim or permanent ED may serve as a voting or non-voting member of the ED search committee.
Hearing no second?
I'll second it.
All right, who seconded it?
Maria second.
Moved and seconded. What's your pleasure? Are there objections?
Objections to what?
To his motion.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Dave, you want to amend it that would say comma, and that no member of this committee, voting or non-voting, may be a candidate for the IED or the ED positions, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, it's sort of reversed, that no candidate shall serve on this committee.
Right.
This is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
I have a question. So this would not be retroactive. This would be prospectively moving, meaning that if an individual is on the committee and decide they want to run, and since that will not exist before, they can resign from it and apply if they want to.
Right.
Correct. Okay. That's the sentiment.
Yes. Okay. What's your pleasure? Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's approved.
Okay.
And
somebody writing this down?
Lalani is on the phone.
I wrote it down.
Well, Fadi, I was going to ask for our meeting tomorrow. Did you get it, that addition?
I'm sorry, what was that, Mark?
Did you get the addition that was the addition that Dave presented, so when we meet tomorrow we'll have that language?
I didn't take that down, but I could write that
I
down.
I got it.
You got it, Maria?
Got it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, hey, Mark, when are we meeting tomorrow? I'm sorry.
9:30.
9:30 Eastern.
It's already been approved. It's been approved.
Okay, so number two.
Okay, I have another amendment.
Before we move off of that amendment, I would like to make a clarifying question, point of information, I suppose.
Which one is it, Dave?
Well,
for Dave, it's always a point of information. Go ahead.
If I'm recognized by the chair, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, Dave.
I guess the thing is that what I don't want is somebody to say, oh, well, I'm considering it, but I haven't decided yet. I'm hoping that the spirit of this will be, if it's clear that a member is a candidate, they will step off the committee, not, well, I'm considering it, and then at the 11th hour say, okay, I've decided, and now I'll step down. So
I thought that was clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we move now?
Okay, this is Bob. I'd like
Bob.
To offer another amendment on this motion.
Let's hear it.
To add at the end, and that each LSB elect at its next regular meeting a voting representative. LSBs are strongly urged to elect women. These additional representatives will be seated as they are elected.
Point of information, Bob.
Yes.
And you brought that before the committee, and it was pretty much like flat out down.
Didn't get a second.
Yeah.
Right, and the way I understand our board and our bylaws is that committees are purely advisory, and so the fact that it was voted down by a committee doesn't preclude me from bringing it to the full board.
Point of order?
Yes, Dave?
I think this is a point of order. You can correct me. No, it isn't. Excuse me. I'll wait till discussion. But I have discussion on it if it's second.
May I continue, Ambrose?
You aren't complete?
No. That's the text, but let me just explain the rationale.
No. Are you making this a motion?
Yes.
You're making a motion.
Yes.
Then let's make sure we have the motion.
Okay.
Let's hear it again.
Okay, to add at the end of this first motion the words, and that each LSB elect at its next regular meeting the voting representative. LSBs are strongly urged to elect women. The additional representatives will be seated as they are elected.
Is there a second to that?
I second it.
All right, it's been moved and seconded.
Dave?
Discussion.
Yes, I'd
May
like
I speak?
To say something.
May I speak, Ambrose? In
this is Steve. I'd like to say something.
Yes, Steve. Hi.
Hi. Dave also. I would just
Dave?
Like that I've spent...
Ambrose, can I speak in support of my own motion?
Yeah, when I tell you to.
Okay.
I would just like to say that I've spent 10 hours over the last week in committee meetings.
Yes.
And if this board is going to simply allow people on committees after business is resolved to bring it up again at a full board meeting, I don't see any point of being on a committee.
Well, all we have to do is vote it down.
But
our bylaws
give us the ability to have a committee that is a confidential committee that does not have LSB members, but if it includes LSB members, it's supposed to include two from each signal area. So I don't think that this, I wasn't sure whether this is a point of order or not, but I don't think the motion is constructed is in order because I think it conflicts with our bylaws. I will say that for the interim ED process, I don't think that that's reasonable. For the longer-term ED process, I'd consider it, but given the shortness of time, I think that any further changes to the committee might be more reasonably taken up at a different meeting. So those are my comments.
Yes. Who else?
I move a call the question.
You had called on me, Ambrose.
Okay. You can speak to your motion.
Thank you.
Ambrose,
okay.
And I'd like to speak, please.
Who is that?
Fatty would like to be on the stack.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. First, I respect Steve's position about the time of the committee, but I think there's got to be a mechanism for minority opinions to be brought to the board, and that's about to happen in a later item on our agenda tonight on a different subject. I think we have to preserve that. As far as the bylaws, my understanding is that ad hoc or special committees or task forces can be elected that have different compositions than the standard 2 LSB, 1 PNB. But as far as the reason for proposing this, there are two. One, and I would agree with the spirit of what Dave said, that this is much more essential for the permanent, for the regular ED position than the interim. And that's why none of this would slow down the committee from working. It would just be as people are elected at regular LSB meetings in the next month or month and a half or whenever it happens.
Okay.
Number one is that there's a lot of work involved in this process of sifting the resumes and interviewing and checking references, and more people would be helpful. And number two is that I think there's a serious problem of the male domination of it's five men and one woman as the voting members of the current committee. And I don't think that's acceptable within a Pacifica committee, and I think we need to work to remedy that.
Yeah, but she's a hell of a gal.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'd like to get on, if I could, on this stack.
You're on.
Okay, this is a concern. I've you know, done it before when I was on the executive.
What happened to Fadi? He was next.
Yeah, Fadi?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Then speak.
Okay, I didn't get called on, that's why... Okay, I you know this issue was brought up before by Bob, and it didn't get a second primarily because of the timing. KPFA Local Station Board won't meet until towards the end of May. Basically, many of the decisions, the May 9th decision, certainly would have already concluded by then. The LSD, KPFA LSD, I'm just giving you guys our LSD as an example. Would not have been able to get folks to look at who would be who and so on and so forth. It really is something that's too late, and I really would hope that this would be defeated. A second point that I think is important is that we are LSB representatives to the National Board.
Hmm.
And we have to keep that in mind, that we are LSB representatives, and I hope that we keep that in mind. I mean, Maria, at our first committee meeting, came and said, look, this is what my LSB has instructed me to do. She has basically brought up the issue with her LSB. That's the constructive thing to do. I think we should all be doing that.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, I just want to say, and I want us to be careful here on the PNB. I want to echo what Steve had said, and I've said this before when I was on other committees where we meet as a committee, and you know, you kind of, you know, meet, spend all this time and effort, and then anyone on that committee can say, okay, fine, I'm just going to go straight to the board with it. If I don't get the vote, then we rehash a lot of this discussion we've already had, and then it does become a waste of time for those of us who are going to be meeting three times this week on the executive search. So. While I understand minority opinion, although I think my reading of Robert's rules is usually it's a vote, a courtesy vote, that you go ahead and do it, I want to be careful that we don't establish a process where some of the work we do in committee can just be circumvented by coming directly to the board, because then there's no point of being on the committee.
Mm-hmm.